Welcome. Tonight we're going to study about the Greeks in the Bible, and we're going to start talking about an event that had an effect on them. It was a Body of Christ event, but it did have an effect on the Greeks, talking about the Jerusalem temple vision. Paul, at the time, he was not yet sent out to all men until sometime after that Acts 18 Jerusalem temple vision. And after Paul's experience there, brief experience in the temple in Jerusalem in Acts 18, it was later reported about in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. And we'll look at those. But it had occurred earlier. That temple vision occurred, earlier than the Acts 22:17 when it was reported. It was probably Paul's most brief visit to Jerusalem, which was in Acts 18:22. Acts 18, verse 22. And look what Christ told Paul in that Jerusalem temple vision, starting in Acts 8, Acts 22, verse 18, where it's talked about, it's told about, described, and saw him saying to me, this is Paul talking about seeing Jesus appear to him in the temple. Saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. In other words, he was in imminent danger there. The Lord wanted him not to stand and fight, but to flee at that point. He goes on in verse 21, Acts 22:21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So that I will is a future sending that he's being told about. It's not, he's not sending him at that point. He is receiving apostleship. He's going to be the sent out one, and God is not going to, you know, break his word about that. Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So in a book written, an epistle written three verses later in Acts, the epistle to the Romans, he does say in verse 5, I just had it. I have received grace and apostleship. So, to let me get the verse. That'll solve it. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith of all nations for his name's sake. But he wasn't sent until three verses after that. So, anyway. At the end of Paul's life, he described to whom it was that his later, the later sending that he was waiting for from that temple vision, who it applied to whom it applied. He was sent out, and he describes that, who he was sent to in that later sending. 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And lost my place. And strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. You see, in Acts 26, verses 16 and 17, that was a specific sending. It was not a general sending. It was to those from whom he would be delivered. It says so right in the verse. So he's talking here, though, in 2 Timothy 4:17, he's talking about a specific sending to all Gentiles. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered. There's the deliverance. From Acts 26, 17. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. But before that temple vision and Christ's promise to later send Paul to all men, before that, Paul had been acting on Christ's earlier sending of him, of which Paul was not disobedient. Acts 26:19. Christ's earlier sending of Paul can be found in Acts 13, verses 2 and 4. And we've been through before why verse 3 is those five men mentioned in verse 1. Those five men are sending him out, and that ends in Acts 14:26, I believe it is. It says they fulfilled their mission. So these two, verse 2 and verse 4, did not end in Acts 14. They continued until Paul was sent to all men. But his earlier sending, it's described in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 18. And I think we're mostly familiar. Let's go ahead and read those. I don't think that's in the verse list. That's 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 16 we'll start with and go through 18. And I'll just read it here. Now concerning the collection, that's not it. 1 Corinthians, oh, I'm in 16. 9, 16, there we go. Verse 16, not chapter 16. I'll get it. All right, thank you for that. There we go. Let me get this. I've got too many windows covering it up. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation or a dispensing of the gospel is committed unto me. And then he goes on in verse 18, what is my reward then? That verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he's naming the gospel that he was to dispense, the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, let's go on. There's that to keep in mind. So after Christ's early sending of Paul, and before Christ's later sending of Paul, in the in-between there, Paul was sent to the children of Israel. Acts 9, verse 15. And he was sent to the people and the Gentiles. And again, that's from Acts 26:17, which is a specific, it's a specific sending to those from whom he will be delivered. It's not yet all the Gentiles, but by the time he was sent there, he knew he was going to be. Acts 26, he had been sent there, but he's talking about the time in Acts 26, verses 16 and 17 and 18. He's talking about the time back in Damascus Road. And from those Greek Gentiles in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy, Romans 11:11. Through Israel's fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. And which ones could, it doesn't say all the Gentiles there. It's talking about the ones that can provoke Israel to jealousy, the ones right in front of them every Sabbath day in the synagogues. Those Greeks went to the synagogue. They blessed Israel, bringing their tithes. So, but it was not yet to all men. Let's look at the verses that we just mentioned. Acts 9:15. And this is not ascending. It doesn't say it's ascending. It's a report of what Paul's life will include, but it's not ascending. And listen for it. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he, that is God talking to Ananias about Paul, he would be Paul, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Okay, no sending there, it's just that he's going to go to witness to those people at some point. Acts 26, 16 and 17, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and the Gentile and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So there's a sending to the people and the Gentiles from whom he's going to be delivered. Acts 14, 19 and 20. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, and here's the deliverance, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Well, and the other verse we mentioned was Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, so they didn't have to fall after they stumbled at the cross. But it says they did then, they did fall. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And that brings out another point that it's a different salvation. It's a different group, a different entity that we're brought into. That's the reason for the verse. The difference is that now salvation is into the body of Christ. Well, before though, let me read the verse again. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall. In other words, not through the rise of Israel anymore. Israel was to rise, and they will rise. And Gentiles will come to God through the rise of Israel at some point. Not during this system. Not during this plan, this program that God has in place, that he's dispensing his grace through. But it says, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So that's a different group of Gentiles, and it's by a different means. It's through the fall of Israel that salvation was offered to us. Salvation in a heavenly realm, rather than on the land, as Israel will be saved to. So those God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles, often called Greeks, they can also be seen to be prophesied in, I left my notes short there. One of them that I left out, I better tell it first before I forget it. Habakkuk 1:5. And that's worth looking at. Let me just, I got it here. Okay. It says, Behold ye among the heathen, and regard. This is the prophecy to Habakkuk, and he's writing it down, or reading it, among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And we know that's talking about Paul's ministry, because Paul quotes it in Acts 13:41 as what he's doing, a work. That's part of the work. It doesn't mean that the work was, that does not mean that the mystery was foretold or prophesied or anything like that in the Old Testament. You can see in the verse there, it doesn't say anything about a mystery, about Gentiles, about a body of Christ. It doesn't say anything about that. It's not, the mystery remained a secret. Okay, let's look at the next one, Deuteronomy 32:21. We're talking about Greeks in prophecy. So he used the Greeks and the Jews, some of the Jews, to provoke apostate Israel, to provoke them and to cause some of them to believe. Deuteronomy 32:21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with that which, with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Who does apostate Israel think is foolish? The kingdom was taken away from apostate Israel and given to the little flock. That's who they think is a foolish nation. But if you back up a little bit, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Remember the Syrophoenician woman that Christ dealt with, one of the two Gentiles that Christ dealt with. And it says in the text there in Mark 7:26, I believe it is, it says that she was a Greek. Well, it says her nationality was Syrophoenician. She was a Syrophoenician by nation, not from Greece. So it has nothing to do with being from Greece. With these Greeks, they were Greek, called Greeks because they sought after the wisdom and knowledge that the Greek culture that came before them had brought down to them. The Greek Empire looked for all kinds of wisdom and knowledge and built libraries and schools and everything. So that's where the term nickname got its name. I guess you could call it a nickname. They blessed God, they honored God, they feared God, and blessed Israel. And they found that in the scriptures. They sought the wisdom and knowledge of God, so they got called wisdom seekers or Greeks. Let's go to the next one, Isaiah 65:1. And here we, I think this is the one that shows where the Gentiles do come to God through Israel at a different time, different group of Gentiles. We can't try to do it now. That arrangement hasn't been set up. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. And finally, let's go to Romans 10, verses 19 and 20. Romans 10, 19 and 20. And we see it says, but I... pardon me. Give me just a second here. My big blue glass there, cup. All right, Romans 10, 19 and 20. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them, I lost my place, by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. So, let's go on to a little different aspect. During that intermediate period, when it was God wasn't offering the kingdom anymore, and I should say God wasn't offering the immediate kingdom anymore. It was still out there in the future, as it had been before John the Baptist. But God was offering the gospel that saved Paul, a dispensing of the gospel, a dispensation of the gospel, and the Jews and the Greeks had a special ability, a special opportunity in saving into the body of Christ the remnant according to the election of grace. At that time, God was, in God's sequence of events, those Greeks had a very important prophesied duty in God's plan for Israel. It was, we can see it better if we look at what Jesus said about the Greek, and here is the scripture. I didn't read the whole section. You get a better view of it when we read the whole section, which we'll do now. Mark 7:24, and we'll go through 7:30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. Now you've got it. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be fed. For it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone, and her daughter laid upon the bed. So in Mark 7:26 there, Jesus coined the term a Greek for the woman, and she's described further as a Syrophoenician by nation. And in Matthew 15:22, she's further described as a woman of Canaan. So that woman who came to Jesus was not a Greek by nationality. She was a Syrophoenician by nation, and she lived in Canaan. And yet Jesus called her a Greek. Well, let's see why Jesus called that particular Gentile a Greek. In Matthew 15, in that account, we see in Acts 26 that Jesus told the woman, who was a Greek, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. The children are the children of Israel, and the children's bread is the gospel of the kingdom, not our gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom coming from heaven to earth to rule the earth through the land. The woman responded in faith by saying in verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There we go. She put herself in the position of a dog under Israel's table, eating of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That's amazing. The Pharisees didn't receive what Jesus was doing or why he came, but that woman, a Greek, knew it was from the scriptures, and she believed it. She put into practice the promise about Gentiles in God's covenant with Abraham. That group of Gentiles, that segment, that they could be saved by believing the gospel of the kingdom, blessing Israel and coming to God in that way. Well, let's read that covenant that God made with Abram before he was called Abraham, changed his name to Abraham. This will be chapter 12 of Genesis, starting with verse 1 and going through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That woman, a Greek, blessed Israel. She feared the God of Abraham. She received the blessing of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. Her blessing, earthly, physical blessing for Israel was from Jesus himself. Now, not everybody got that blessing, but they did get a blessing. They received a blessing for blessing Israel under that dispensing of God's grace through the covenants. Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. That faith is the very thing that Israel lacked, which caused them to fall. They failed to receive the king and his kingdom. That Greek received the blessing of God for her blessing of Israel. And Christ used that belief, that faith, as an opportunity to show Israel what they still needed. Jesus only dealt with two Gentiles in his earthly ministry. One was this Syrophoenician national that the Bible called a Greek. And we don't have to define what the Bible means by a Greek. The Bible defines it in, we read the verse, Mark 7:26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And the other, it's interesting, these are both the two Gentiles that he deals with show up Israel on the basis of faith, on the issue of faith. The other Gentile that Jesus dealt with was a centurion in Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. And he met the same qualification that Jesus expressed for the Syrophoenician woman, that Israel, they showed that Israel lacked the faith that they had. The centurion had it. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And, you know, when you remember that, I'm trying to think where it was, Mount of Olives, or where Jesus in Matthew 23:37 prays over Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you under my wings. Anyway, that whole prayer, his longing for Israel to believe, to have faith, and yet they didn't. That was their. I mean, they went to great extent, great effort to do the law, to keep the covenants, the circumcision, the Sabbath, you know, and this whole array of things, except for the one last thing that they believed this prophet that God would send unto them, like unto Moses. And him they would hear? Well, they didn't hear him. They didn't receive him. Sad. Look at Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness? Even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And look at Romans 10. Those verses apply to they follow this. It's the next verse, but it's a chapter change. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel, prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Boy, that applies to just about everybody, doesn't it? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Yeah, who can do all the law? That's what they agreed to do, wasn't it? In Deuteronomy 6:25, this shall be our righteousness if we keep all the law. Oh, man. Verse 6, Romans 10:6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. He already came down. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He already resurrected. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Paul preached faith in the gospel of God, just like Peter did. Gospel of God being the facts about who Jesus is, not to reject him, to believe his identity, his name, that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And just a brief reminder, I'll read the verses that tell us that, the gospel of God. Paul urged faith in this gospel of God. Israel was also to have faith, but they didn't. They didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Those four verses, Romans 1:1-4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's a parenthesis. So, reading across that parenthesis without the explanation of the gospel of God, it says, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, there's the sonship, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. There's the resurrection. And the part back there in verse 3 is the Messiahship of Jesus, that he is the Messiah, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the Greek word for Messiah. Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The Messiah was to come from David, the seed of David. So that gospel of God, turns out that that's what Paul would preach in the synagogues. When he would visit a town, he'd find the synagogue, go there and preach this gospel of God. And those that believed it, he could separate out. Well, they'd be separated out. They would kick him out of the synagogue for believing that Jesus was the Messiah. But he would meet with them, or his fellow workers would meet with him and preach to them the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, those coming out of the synagogues. And that was a brief time, probably, 12 years or so, I think. if you use Usher's, Bishop Usher's numbering system, which isn't inspired, but I think it's pretty close, if not accurate itself. All right, I'm done. Any questions or comments?